Hello and welcome to the Muni Lowdown. My name is Paul Graves and I'm the managing editor for Debtwire Municipal. Today's podcast title is Water Utilities, Weathering Investor Demand. I'm joined by our curation editor, Stephanie Fagnani, and I'd like to welcome for the first time to our podcast, Dr. Peter Adrians, a professor of civil and environmental engineering at the University of Michigan. We'll be discussing the evolving weather risk factors faced by water utilities and its impact on bond investor demand. Stephanie, welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, Paul.
And Peter, welcome to the Muni Lowdown.
Thanks for having me.
So we're recording on the morning of Wednesday, October 9th. And obviously, there's Hurricane Milton happening down in Florida. And we certainly pray for those people and that the damage is not that extensive. But today's topic, we're going to deal with how water utilities are dealing with weather risk, specifically floods and drought. And Peter, I think I'd like to start this off with, could you provide a brief overview of the article that you contributed to that was published a couple of months ago in the Environmental Science and Technology Journal?
Given all the events that are happening as a result of climate change event, increasing storms, hurricanes, and all of that, we were very interested in looking at how these events are impacting the cost of financing of water utilities. The reason why we're interested in that is that most water utilities in the United States are financed through municipal bonds, meaning that, and most of these municipal bonds are revenue bonds, meaning that you got to have your revenue from selling your water to be able to service your debt. And the big question was, how are droughts and floods and storms impacting the investor risk and therefore the utility risk as a result of these events? So the article that we published went back about a decade. So we looked over 10 years of bond issuances to sort of explore how these events are impacting the cost of financing in different parts of the country.
So, Peter, based on your research, how is the increasing frequency of catastrophic storms, floods, and drought impacting how investors view risk related to water utilities? Or, in other words, does the possibility of these conditions devalue a water utility, potentially leading to credit rating deterioration?
Yes, absolutely. Even when you go back 10 years or even longer, but our study went back about a decade, you have to really think about it from the investor perspective. What are they looking for? They're looking for stable cash flows. They're looking for the capacity of these utilities to pay back and service their debt. They're looking at any kind of events that may disrupt these cash flows. When you're looking at droughts and floods and whatnot, and even saltwater intrusion impacts, they start impacting two things. One, they impact the potential risk to the utility itself, to the capital of the utility, but also the future cash flows of these utilities. So just like a bank looks at all of us in terms of our cash flows and whether or not we can pay back debt, bond buyers do the same thing when they buy a bond of a utility based on its credit rating. They look at, well, what are all the risks that that utility is exposed to, and how is that going to impact the financial risk to me as a bond buyer? And therefore, the more risk I experience as a bond buyer, the higher the interest rate is that I am going to demand from that particular utility in that particular location.
And in your opinion, which catastrophe is viewed as being more high risk by investors, floods or drought?
Well, that is a very tricky question because a lot of it is, one, it's temporal, and two, it is very region dependent. When we looked at our data of thousands of bonds in different regions of the country, southeast, southwest, northeast, northwest, the Great Plains and all of that, we saw in the up until about 2013, 2014, we saw that investors were pricing in drought risks. So drought risks became sort of a major driver for investors to say, hey, you might be actually limited in how much water you can sell. Therefore, your future cash flows may be at risk. Therefore, there's going to be a risk to your bond and therefore higher cost of your bond. When we start looking more and more past sort of 2014, 2015, one of the things that we're noticing more and more is that floods course, particularly in not only in coastal utilities, but particularly in coastal utilities, but also in utilities that are impacted by potential riverine floods within the states, where again, so now you have a flood risk and the investor says, okay, that flood risk is going to impact, again, either your capital stock or your future cash flows, and we're going to start demanding a higher interest rate. And that's actually reflected in the data.
So, Peter, based on the study, it seems like the Pacific Coast and the Great Plains had water utilities that were perceived by investors as high risk. And you touched on it a little bit. Wanted to dig a little deeper. So how does geography play a part in all of this?
Well, geography plays a role because essentially, if you think about it, a utility sells source water, right? They sell water that comes from somewhere and that's processed through the utility and they sell it to their customers, whether it's residential customers or commercial customers. So any event that impacts source water will impact risk. So if we're looking at, say, for example, about 5, 6, 8 years ago, at the Pacific coast, I mean, we started seeing a lot of droughts. They had a 5, 6, 7 year drought. So that drought limited the capacity of utilities to start selling water to their customers. I mean, there were all sorts of policies in place, I mean, to conserve water and all of that. Well, I mean, what that effectively means for a utility is less water for sale, i.e. less revenue, i.e. potential risk to the bond. In addition to coastal water, particularly if you think, for example, near Southern California, there is the risk of saltwater intrusion. Also, now you have ocean water that starts intruding the aquifers, which is the source water that the utility uses. So in that case now, I mean, saltwater intrusion, I mean, saltwater is not water that we really want to sell to our customers. So in that case, again, the revenue was at risk. And when you're looking at the Great Plains, situation is different. I mean, we're not dealing with saltwater intrusion and issues like that. However, in the Great Plains, we've started to see a lot more flood risks, not just riverine flood risk, but much heavier storms. We read about it all the time now with all the hurricanes and everything else, that any rainfall that we get now relative to, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago is heavier. It's a lot more loaded. So per unit time, you see a lot more water falling down. So basically, now you get a lot more flood risk in these utilities. Flood risk results in water utilities not being able to manage the source water that comes into the utility and is resold. So again, there is a risk to the utilities from that perspective.
And what strategies can utilities use to mitigate the increased risk posed by floods and drought? And also, how can they implement, in terms of water utilities, these strategies once the literal damage has already been done?
Yeah, that's a very tough question to answer for each utility and very utility specific, right? Because it depends on what kind of risk the utility is exposed to. I mean, we sort of bucket kind of risks or risk responses into sort of three major buckets. So one bucket is we're going to invest in capital infrastructure, right? New pipelines, extending pipelines, put filtration equipment in place, put desalinization equipment in place and whatnot. So that is one, very expensive, which requires a new bond, right, that we need to issue and then we need to pay back. And then two, there are options, I guess, or insurance that utilities can use, so risk transfer mechanisms where they will protect themselves, I guess, against reduced cash flow. And then more and more now, because the events that are happening, the storm events or the climate change that are happening, are a lot more frequent. So something that's a lot more frequent is much harder to protect against. Right. So basically now what more and more utilities are starting to consider are what we call climate options or climate revenue swaps. And this is a pretty complex term, but effectively what it means is the utility tells an insurance company, we need at a minimum this amount of revenue from selling water to be able to service our debt. Once we're below some other value, we can no longer do that. And please, can you help us once we hit that particular trigger? So the revenue swap is essentially an option where the insurance and the water utility come to an agreement that says if either the rainfall or the amount of water or whatnot impacts your sales of water below a certain value, we will make you whole. And in the other sense, I guess if that situation does not materialize, because we can't really predict very well when these storms are going to happen, the water utility pays the insurance company. those are three kind of buckets. But the most expensive one tends to be the investment in new equipment, right? Or in new pipelines, so an expansion of pipelines. New Orleans is a great example with the situation that they've experienced on account of the Gulf of Mexico pushing into the Mississippi River. It's been written about quite a bit. So the source water has turned more brackish. So one of the solutions that is being considered is building a pipeline that is miles further upstream where the water is still fresh water, right? But again, that is a very expensive solution, and it's also a solution that requires new financing.
Well, thanks, Peter and Stephanie, for the thoughtful dialogue on the evolving risk factors for water utilities and the investor response in the municipal market. To our audience, I hope you found this podcast to be informative. Please support us by liking, sharing, and/or subscribing to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Until the next time, thanks for joining us on the Muni Lowdown.